afternoon. You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPB 88.1 FM. We're your host for today's show. I'm Amber Marie Felton.
I'm Azeem Hill.
I'm Eric Yates.
I'm Sherelle Reed.
And I'm Matt.
The Student Union is a youth-led organization. We are a group of young people from Philadelphia Public Schools making changes in the school system, doing political education and leadership development.
On Blast is the only youth-led and youth-produced radio show in Philly. That means that students do the interviews, edit and produce segments, and we host the show. We're using the media as a tool to organize and liberate young people.
You can tune in to On Blast every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 88.1 FM WPEB, or you can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. While you are there, you can also subscribe to our podcast and have new shows sent directly to your iTunes.
Today, we'll hear news from a human rights march in Baltimore.
We'll listen to a report about continued privatization in the school district.
And we'll learn about a recent victory to keep William Penn High School open.
And we'll hear a piece produced by Greg Jordan Dedamore about how people learn best and how they are taught in school. Plus, we'll have music and other news. Now, we have a report from the Be More Fair Human Rights March.
On April 17th, the Baltimore-based United Workers Association held a protest and march to move their campaign for human rights in Baltimore's Inner Harbor forward.
We talk about respect. Like I said, every man, you know, want to be treated with respect. You know, so this is a human right issue. You know, every person have a right for a high education, health care, and be treated with respect and dignity. And that's what this is all about.
From the beginning of the march, the group made it clear exactly what they were out there for.
Human rights! Now! Human rights! Now!
Veronica Dorsey is an organizer with the United Workers Association.
Joining us in our human rights march and protest. And at this time, I would just like to tell you, my name is Veronica Dorsey, and I'm a leadership organizer with the United Workers. The United Workers is a human rights organization led by the poor, trying to find them in the poverty. So we know today that our strength is in our unity and our message. And our message is that we will secure all low-wage workers to be able to have the rights to dignity, health care, and education. But we know it's going to take each and every one of you that's represented today and your community to help make this possible. So as we stand here in the circle before we move to our next target, I would just like to ask you this question. Who out here in this audience believe that all life is sacred and worthy of human dignity?
I spoke with another member of UWA.
My name is Marilyn Hunter, and I'm with the United Workers Association.
What are you guys out here doing today?
We're protesting for human rights with a focus on the situation of workers in the harbor of Baltimore.
What is that situation?
The situation is there are three main restaurants that we've done investigation and targeted where the workers are just suffering from lack of pay, not getting paid all the time, having to, for example, pay for cups to drink water, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're focusing on the harbor as a symbol of Baltimore's growth and the luxury of Baltimore, but it's poor workers that are suffering to bring that to the city.
And what are your eventual goals in the campaign?
Well, the eventual goals, long-term of the goals, are to end poverty by uniting those people who suffer from it.
And what are the short-term goals?
The short-term goals are to bring human dignity and human rights to these workplaces in the harbor as a symbol that the workers can organize and can accomplish something.
Allies of the United Workers came out in force. More than 60 people from Philly, including members of Student Union, made the trip down to Baltimore to show support and to cover the event. A number of other groups also came out, and one of UWA's faith allies in Baltimore spoke at the rally.
We understand as we gather today, as we march down to raise awareness of the injustices going on in Baltimore City and beyond, where our friends are from beyond.
Yeah.
We know that we're marching toward those who believe that they have the power. We're marching toward those who control our neighborhoods, our wages, and they believe that they have all the power. Well, as a servant of the Most High God, I'd like to say that they are sadly mistaken.
That's right, yeah!
That they do not have all power.
I caught up with him after his speech.
My name is Heber, H-E-B as in basketball, E-R, last name Brown like the color.
And what organization are you out here with today?
I'm actually proud to be the pastor of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church in Baltimore.
And what are you out here to do today?
I'm here to stand in unity and solidarity with my brothers and sisters from all the organizations present. But specifically today, I'm here to raise our voices for human rights and justice in Baltimore City. And as many on Wall Street and in corporations have gotten bailouts from our government, I think it's time for the people to rise up and demand that we get what we deserve as human beings. I'm not asking for handouts. We're not asking for anything we don't deserve, but we're demanding what every human being should get just as a part of being a human being. And so I'm glad to be a part of the parade.
I asked him what he thought some of those basic human rights included.
A living wage has to be just basic human right. Quality education in Baltimore City. Our city school system has been historically underfunded. Everybody knows it, and yet nobody is doing anything to put the money where it belongs and put the resources where they belong. Housing. My brothers and sisters from SMEAC, an organization called Save Middle East Action Coalition, they're here as well because they live in the shadow of Johns Hopkins. Now, your listeners, they may know Johns Hopkins because of the great research into medicine. But here in Baltimore, we know Johns Hopkins because of gentrification. They have moved out poor black families out of East Baltimore, moved them to the margins of society to replace them with the elites of society. And we're saying that's not right. And so I can go down the list. SEIU, our brothers and sisters from that organization is there. And so we're here for health care as well. Everybody in America deserves health care, not as a privilege, but as a right. Those are just a few of the things the list can go on.
The march ended inside the harbor, right in the middle of all the rush hour activity, and right outside of the employer that was declared the worst of the worst by the workers in the harbor, Phillips Seafood. But the campaign is bigger than just one restaurant, or just one tourist hotspot, or even just one city. The United Workers, like the Philadelphia Student Union, sees itself as a part of the movement to end poverty led by poor people. And this campaign is a really important step in that movement. To find out more about the United Workers, go to unitedworkers.org. This piece was recorded and edited by Dan Jones for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break.
You don't know what you've got to realizing when them nights go long, right? Can't wait for me to stay when you know that I'm gone, right? Yeah. You act all wild when I tell you to settle. I was working around the clock with your girls on the metal. Talk about I heard he swims with this chick on the beach. That was out with the tie, but my love you impeach. Now you looking at the walls, head and hand, cold jonesing. Ringing my house, hanging up and imposing. Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that?
My name's Dan Jones, and I'm an organizer at the Philadelphia Student Union. So we just heard a piece about the struggle of the United Workers in Baltimore and a human rights march that they held. And really quickly, we just sort of wanted to talk a little bit about a Student Union Summer Institute that's coming up called BAM, Building a Youth Movement.
Okay, so like Dan already said, PSU is having a summer program, BAM, Building a Youth Movement, August the 25th and
the 24th to the 28th
until the 28th,
and then the 29th is going to be a fun day. I don't know, we're going to figure out something, but but the workshops are going to be from the 24th to the 28th,
and we're going to run through political education, youth leadership, and we're going to have media tracks of video, audio, and blogging.
And so part of the idea with this year is that, so at Student Union, we think that media and communications is a really, really important part of organizing and of building a movement. And so the hope is to really integrate the political education piece with the media and communication piece to sort of like show how necessary that is as a part of building a movement. And so the theme this year of the Institute is going to be education for liberation, and then there's going to be sort of another focus on media literacy. So again, that's going to be August 24th to the 28th, and it's going to be from 10 to 4 every day at 4205 Chestnut Street, and there's going to be free lunch and tokens will be provided.
And a fun day.
So in a couple minutes, we're gonna listen to a segment about the community struggle, the community effort to keep William Penn open.
When months ago the school district announced that it was going to close William Penn, it seemed inevitable that that was going to happen. Some even said that the building was already sold, that Temple University had already bought it. The school, housed in one of the newest facilities in the district, is equipped with an Olympic-sized swimming pool and underground parking. It is made even more valuable by its location on Broad and Master Streets. One reason listed for wanting to close the school was low enrollment, really caused by years of disinvestment in the facilities.
We don't see any indication that we would have had, at this point in time, in the transition from last year to this year, in any larger enrollment than we have now, if we had had the ability to open more of the campus.
However, despite the powerful forces supporting the closure of the school, the community and alumni of William Penn succeeded in organizing a really effective campaign to keep it open. They responded to each of the district's reasons for wanting to close the school, and even developed their own plan for turning it into a cutting-edge career and technical school. Bumi Samuels is a community leader and is heavily involved in the campaign.
I'm Bumi Samuel. I'm a community resident, community organizer. I'm also part of the Coalition to Revitalize William Penn, which is a coalition of different groups in the community who've come together over the last 2 months. I think that we need to have conversations about solutions, not about the issue of failing, but what are solutions? How do we fix the solutions? Because at this point now, they're saying close it. But that, if you've ever seen William Penn, you know it's worth saving. It's the beauty of the building. It's like nothing else that you'll see in the city. So I think it's worth it.
The powerful part of the campaign was the way that in which the community responded to the district's long history of disinvestment with a call for reinvestment and support. They forced the district to take responsibility for failing their school. On June 17th, the SRC voted unanimously to table the vote on closing William Penn High School. When the district first announced that they would be closing William Penn, they expected the community to get upset. They didn't expect them to get organized. By forcing the district to keep the school open, the committee to revitalize William Penn has won a major victory for organizers fighting disinvestment and gentrification all over the city and the country.
The last piece we just heard was about William Penn. Coming up in a few minutes, we have a segment about the continued privatization in the school district. But first, let's hear some music.
Last night a DJ saved my life, yeah. 'Cause I was sitting there bored to death, and in just one breath he said, you gotta get up, you gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl. You know you drive me crazy, baby. You've got me turning to another man. Called you on the phone, no one's home. Baby, why leave me all alone? And if it wasn't for the music, I don't know what I'd do. Yeah. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. You know I hopped into my car, didn't get very far, no. Before I had you on my mind, why be so unkind? You got your women all around this town. But I was trapped in love with you, and I didn't know what to do. But when I turned on my radio, I found out all I needed to know. Check it out. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life from a broken heart. Last night a DJ saved my life. Last night a DJ saved my life with a song. Hey, listen up to your local DJ. You better hear what he's got to say.
It's not a problem that I can't fix, 'cause I can do it in the mix. And if your man gives you trouble just to move out on the double, and you don't let it trouble your brain, 'cause away goes trouble down the drain. Said away goes trouble down the drain.
Well, all right.
Dub time.
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPEB 88.1 FM. You could also listen to this show online, including past shows, by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com.
Push to privatize schools in Philadelphia. This means that tax dollars designated for public education have instead been turned over to private companies. 7 years later, study after study shows that these groups are not running schools any better than the district, despite an extra $500 per student. Despite this, the district agreed on June 24th to extend contracts for every private manager for at least 1 year. Khalif Dobson is an organizer with the Philly Student Union, as well as a student at West Philadelphia High School, and testified at a recent school board meeting about the issue.
Good afternoon, my name is Khalif Dobson. I stand before you today, a product of a failed elementary school that didn't even prepare me for a comprehensive high school. I attended Morton McMichael Elementary, and that school was taken over by EMO in my sixth grade year. The EMO's name was Edison. Since that day, nothing improved in my school, nor did we gain any additional resources. All I remember was the cutting of programs and an added incentive on passing the PSSA. Soon, you will be asked to vote about whether or not to extend the contracts of these education management organizations. But before you vote, I thought I would just not provide you with my opinion, but also facts. The truth about EMOs is that they amounted to the experimentation on the most vulnerable communities, neighborhoods, and students in Philadelphia. The EMOs in this district are a good example of how adults are putting their needs before the students' needs. EMOs are not effective. Several of them are the lowest performing schools in the district. Recently, a study done by Johns Hopkins University showed that EMOs actually increased the achievement gap, which means that EMOs have been knowingly failing our students for a profit. And at least 8 EMOs have had teacher retention rates of under 75%. And in some of the schools in my neighborhood, this figure is more like 50%. Therefore, these contracts should not be extended. This is a call for accountability and transparency. There is new accountability for teachers, principals, and all adults throughout the system. This must extend to the providers as well. Extending the contracts will only promote low standards and continue to fail countless amounts of students.
Sheila Simmons, Education Director for Philadelphia Citizens for Children and Youth, also testified.
When a diverse provider model was proposed 7 years ago, specifically the private management organizations, we were told that it could work because if schools fail, we could easily end their contracts. Yet, for 2 years, failing schools have had their contracts extended. It seems that, given your oversight and mission, you should oppose any recommendation for an educational model that is not based on success. This model was not based on success. Suspensions are off the chart, literally, at one high school. For every 100 students, there were more than 200 suspensions. The graduation rate is 40%. Even our comprehensive neighborhood high schools, the least progressive model of all school models in the district, net a 46% graduation rate. This experiment launched with the promise from private managers that they could take the worst performing schools and do a better job than the district. Not the same job, a better job. They were even awarded additional resources to compensate for the challenge. At what point does the district say, with $500 additional dollars per student, heck, we could do a better job? At what point is good enough not good enough? I am concerned with the recent conclusion that these schools, despite having private managers, are actually managed by the district. To that, I question, then who gets the $500 management fee if the district is the manager? In fact, I submit that the next study of EMOs account for where this additional $500 fee per student per year has been used. Teachers, the classroom, training, professional development, school climate, executive salaries. Where's the accountability for this spending? There must be some level of accountability for decision making.
The message was simple. Private managers have failed to live up to their promises and are continuing to hurt students and waste tax dollars. The vote to approve the contracts was 3-1 in favor of extension, with board member Heidi Ramirez being the only dissenting voice. She echoed concerns from the community about the lack of proof that private managers, or EMOs, are working. The privatization of schools in poor and marginalized communities is a striking example of the national and international push to exploit those communities and to transfer public dollars to private hands. With this in mind, we will continue to fight back against privatization and against the political and economic elite that push that agenda. Welcome back, everybody. So one other thing besides the BAM Institute that Student Union is working on this summer is we have a lot of really talented artists in Student Union, and we're working on putting out an album. Putting in a lot of work. we're putting in a lot of work this summer. So we just want to talk about that for a quick second.
My name's Simone, and I'm like, I guess you could say vocals on a track. Well, actually being on the soundtrack is actually, it's a lot of fun to me, because not only are we getting the messages out there, but it's like we're doing it in a way that we all love. I honestly didn't understand how tedious being in the studio in the booth could
Because everything has to sound perfect. If it doesn't sound perfect, then it's just not good enough. Like, I see Phil is a staff member at Student Union, and he's a professional musician. And I see him in there pushing Simone and Candace a lot of times, pushing everybody, really.
I mean, you're
really
in there for
though.
Half
and
an hour saying the same like five words.
Even though it's just a rough draft, we got to get it right. And it's been there forever.
It's essential to be perfect.
But it's really fun. I mean, it gives you sort of like skills that you didn't even know you needed. But once you sort of start having them, you're like, wow, these are really valuable.
Got to get the right pitch, the right note, the right sound. Can't drag your words.
It's a lot that you got to think about, I guess.
It's really fun, you know, being in the booth, being in the studio with everybody. Even though it's a real small space, you'd be all cramped up, but it works out. Like, the more work you put in, you know, the easier, the better. We did, like, 3 songs in 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
And I guess one thing we sort of neglected to mention before is that the music that we're making, it's sort of, I mean, as far as I know, there's, like, nobody who has done something like this or is doing something like what we're doing right now. Because, you know, a lot of cats are out there making political music, right? There's a lot of people out there rapping about poverty or rapping about schools or whatever, or prison or whatever, and that's fine, and that's really good. But what we're working on at Student Union isn't just making political music, isn't just telling our side of the story, but we're making music to support our organizing work. You know, we're not just trying to, like, you know, put students in the booth and have them talk. Like, that's valuable, but it's not as valuable as put students in the booth and have them use music as an organizing tool, you know?
Keep going.
And just as a part of that, so, like, a lot of times, you know, music is sort of all about personal expression and everything, and that's really, really true, but the way we've sort of been going at it is before we make a track, right, before we even started making tracks, we sat down and did a lot of political education about the ways in which we wanted to use the soundtrack and the ways in which we wanted to use the process of making the soundtrack as an organizing tool. And it sort of really helped us in terms of our messaging for the songs, right, and our framework around them. And it's been really, really awesome.
Yeah, and really talking about messaging, like, one thing we have to do is we have to think about our message and what we want to say before we can put it into a song, before we can make it rhyme, before we can make it sound good. We have to know what our message is, what we want to say to people, what we want them to know.
We're not just saying it to say it.
Yeah, we're not just
it. You know? Like, there's a purpose to all this.
Yeah.
All right, great. So we have a song coming up, or a piece.
A song?
It's a piece.
So surprising.
Yes, learning about how we're taught in school.
Right, this piece, just before we start playing this piece, this piece was produced by Gregory Jordan Dedamore, and it's his first sort of full-length piece that he's ever produced, and I think it turned out really, really well.
He's really proud of it.
And it's sort of adapted from a Student Union workshop about learning theory, which sort of points out the differences between how people actually learn best, right, and the way that school tries to teach us things. So, good job, Greg.
Yay.
Think about a time when you enjoyed learning. Now think about how we're taught in school. I asked questions like these and others to some of my fellow students. Here's what they said.
My name's Azeem Hill, and I'm a sophomore at West.
Hi, my name's Dan Jones. I'm a junior at Masterman, and I work with the Philadelphia Student Union.
Hi, my name is Sade Canty. I'm a junior at West Philadelphia High School, soon to be senior 2009.
Think about a time when you enjoyed learning. What happened? What was it like?
I've always been the type of person who've enjoyed learning, but more recently I've been learning a program called FL Studio, and that's my absolute favorite. What happened was someone told me about it, and they told me I could make music, and it's just been great so far. I've made a few beats.
When I was in preschool, we played this disc, and it was like teaching us how to do things like tying our shoes. It was like some snake song, you know, like Tie, Twisted, all that stuff. It was like really fun. And then Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich, I think that was like the best because like you feel so grown and that you learn how to do something for yourself. Like that's probably made it fun.
Mm-hmm. One time I remember enjoying learning was at my first student union retreat. I was learning about things that I had never even thought of before, like oppression, how to organize, sexism, racism. The way most of the workshops work is you start off going through some sort of like interesting experience type thing. You sort of do something sort of fun and active and interesting, and then the rest of the workshop is sort of spent breaking that experience down and sort of talking about it and coming to a conclusion. And the other piece of it is just that those discussions weren't everybody sitting in rows looking at the front of the room and here's the teacher and they're talking at you. It was sort of really loosely facilitated discussions, and a lot of times they were being led by students about what was going on, and we sat in a circle and everybody sort of had their voice respected equally, which I think was really good.
So what do you think these kinds of things tell us about how we learn best?
I think you learn best with hands-on. I mean, you're probably hands-on. Something you enjoy doing, like music, because I like music, and like we learn how to tie our shoes and learn how to make peanut butter jelly sandwich through music, so it was fun. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that. I mean, you should learn about something like you like to do.
When we have a gateway to doing something that we want to do, we push ourselves to learn, and at the same time, we have a good time doing it because we feel like we're getting closer to what we actually want.
I think people learn best when they can listen to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like when they're in a group of people and everybody can sort of be hearing each other on the same level and really listening, and it's not about trying to impress the teacher who's facilitating the conversation.
Now think for a second. How are we taught in school?
Well, books, and they were on the board.
We usually get like workbooks and like we have to copy things down and get tested on like things that we don't necessarily want to learn. You don't want to learn because of the way school is.
Common techniques that I've seen in school are things like worksheets, lectures are a really common thing, reading out of the textbook and answering some questions about it, learning something so that you can answer it on a test.
So remember earlier when you were saying the things that you think help you learn best? How often do you get to do those kinds of things in school?
Do I get to learn what I want to learn? Usually when I have to do something extracurricular, it's usually something I decide to do because I want to do it. Or I learn things with FL Studio where I figure out what I need to learn and I go learn it because I want to know how to do it.
So you don't really get to do these kinds of things in school?
No, I do not.
Every once in a while. We don't learn in the way that you really learn best.
Now, think about what we just talked about how we're taught in school, and then think about what you said earlier about how you learn best. Are these lists similar or different?
Way different. Way different.
I think they're really different. And I think there's a reason why the way we learn best and the way we're supposed to be learning in school are really different. You see it every day. Why do you think students hate coming to school? Why do you think students are made so miserable by school? They're told that school's supposed to be a place where you come to learn, right? And learning's supposed to be a good, positive thing. And so if learning is supposed to be a positive thing, but you're not having good experiences while you're doing it, then that's why students start to hate that.
Why do you think these lists are so different? What do you think this tells us about how school is?
I think it tells us that school isn't a place where we're supposed to be learning in sort of a really human way. It tells us that school is serving a different purpose.
I guess, like, it's obvious why kids, like, drop out, because they have easier access to learning something sometimes and applying it to their lives and sitting in school all day. And sometimes they feel as though they can make a living off of whatever they may learn. I don't feel that way, but I feel like there's probably some people out there who feel that way. So the way school is justifies the reason why some people decide they don't want to learn anymore, because the learning environments are so bad.
And they actually took the fun out of learning. So now it's just like, you need to know this because you need to know this. That's it. Mm-hmm. They're not teaching you stuff that you're going to use in your lifetime. So, like my school, they're not teaching you stuff like, I'm going to be a lawyer. They're not teaching me nothing about being a lawyer. So, like, that would be really good if they could teach that. Then maybe it'll be interesting to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Now, think back when you were saying about a time when you enjoyed learning, what motivated you to learn?
What motivated me was how I knew it was something that I wanted to do. And at the same time, I enjoyed doing it because it was so interactive, and it was something that even though I know I wanted to do it, I taught myself how to do it.
Now in school, what do you find is used to motivate you?
It's not really even a motivation thing sometimes. Sometimes it's just like I have to do it to get through the day or to pass a class so I don't like fail anything. But with FL Studio, it's because I want to learn it.
I think most of all, I think it's like because I know that I have to do this, and if I don't do it, it's just like you're not really going to be anything in life.
I don't want to do badly on my report card. And so that doesn't motivate me to learn in school. It motivates me to do what the school asks me to do. But yeah, I don't want to deal with the consequences of having a bad grade on my report card.
From hearing answers like these, it seems like in school, people aren't learning very much, and certainly not in the way that they learn best. This is a problem. If we want students to really be learning and to be learning more in school, it seems like the best way to do that would to be to make school a place that matches the way that people learn best. Possible ways of doing this include letting students learn through doing things, through project-based learning, and also letting students learn about things that they actually want to learn about, not things that they feel are irrelevant to their lives. The best way to figure out how to change school is to listen to students, to listen to what they have to say, and to listen to how they want to learn, like I did in this piece. This is Gregory Giordetta for On Blast Radio with the Philadelphia Student Union.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. Blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
Thank you.
You've been listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. This is just a taste of what the Student Union does. We also do ongoing campaigns to improve our schools, monthly open mics, men's and women's groups, academic support, political education, and lots of other youth-led activities.
If you want more information about the Philadelphia Student Union, check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org or email us at info@phillystudentunion.org. You should also find us on Facebook and MySpace. Send us your comment and questions about the show to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Tune in next week, Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. for the next edition of On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. You can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podomatic.com. See you next time.
This was Matthew and
I was Sherelle.
And this is Simone producing and stuff. All right,
I love
peace.
Matthew.